Hey, hey, and welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm super happy to have you today. This podcast is dedicated to honoring the woman within the mother and the woman within ourselves, mother or not. We are talking about the divine feminine, educating ourselves on our body, learning how to love ourselves a little bit better, and meet some really interesting people along the way. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Meet Me Downstairs. Today we have Atiyah Taylor on the podcast, and Atiyah is a New York City-based musician and creative producer. She is the founder of an incredible magazine called Womanly Magazine, a publication providing accessible health information to women and non-binary people through visual and literary art. Her work is rooted in social justice, art, and design to bring inclusive and culturally relevant content to sound, print, and digital realms. And that is exactly what we are talking about today. Her work is amazing, and the inspiration behind it is second to none. So let's welcome Atiyah. Here we are today talking to Atiyah Taylor, somebody that I've been following for a while, kind of since I started all of this. And I just love everything that you're doing. And thank you for being here and joining us to chat about womanhood.
Thank you for having me. Really exciting.
Awesome. So today we're going to discuss, a lot about womanhood, about having this like yearning and wanting for accessible information for health, what it means to be a woman, for anything that kind of falls under the sun, which we are all about here at Meet Me Downstairs, just trying to let access be available to anybody who needs it, essentially. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, about how you got into doing what you're doing. But before that, we're going to do just some fun rapid fire questions to get to know you a little bit better. So to kick it off, sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Poetry books or novels?
Oh, that's tough. Poetry books.
Favorite guilty pleasure?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Me too.
It's so good.
A feeling that you love to feel?
Ooh, nostalgic.
That's a good one. A feeling that you don't like to feel?
Heavy.
A current streaming binge?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
So good. A musician that you love right now?
Ooh, a hard one. Musician that I love right now. I love so many musicians right now.
Feel free to name more than one. It doesn't matter.
I'd say I'm listening to Feist a lot right now. I'm trying to think because I want this to be a good one. I don't want to just say whatever.
Sure.
So like, all right, I'm listening to Jessica Pratt a lot. And yeah, Feist, Jessica Pratt. I like Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. You know, you're the second person that I've done a podcast with recently who said Megan Thee Stallion.
She's so great. I love her so much.
Yeah, she's so good. Sweet. Well, thank you for that. And so I guess kind of my first question, which I'm sure you get this question all the time, is sort of like what the catalyst for you was to starting Womanly. I think for the reason why I want to know is because I feel like it could potentially be similar to why I wanted to start this podcast. When I became a mom and became pregnant and all these kinds of things, it kind of opened me up to a lot of information that I wish I had known about my own body, about what it meant to give birth, about periods, about sex, about menopause, all of these things that I feel like we as women should have access to information, be taught in at school, and just don't. And that you're learning about it at 31 because you have a kid kind of thing. And yeah, I just wanted to know from your side of things, like, tell us a little bit about Womanly, what inspired this creation for you? And yeah.
Yeah. Similarly, growing up, I wish that I was really into learning about my body and anatomy. I went away to boarding school really young and didn't have like a close parental figure. I kind of bounced around a lot between home and my grandparents and boarding school. So there was never really any conversation. And, you know, I was just curious about it. And I think I also noticed that things were happening around me that I didn't feel like I could control. Like health and illness. And, you know, I was just a kind of a fearful kid. All those ideas and things, negative things they had told me about sex growing up in school, it really got to me. So I wasn't one of the kids who was just like, whatever. I just didn't have sex. I was like, I'm terrified. I'm not going to do this until I like absolutely know what to do and how to be safe. And the same thing with, you know, other things like things teens do, like drinking and drugs. Like I know a lot of teens don't, but I do feel like it was around me and it was something I could have access to. And I didn't because I was like terrified. I'm like, yeah, maybe it's good to be fearful, but it wasn't like coming from a good place. It was coming from I don't feel educated. And until I feel educated, I don't want to risk my life. And so I just went into college and took some classes and went and joined an organization called Girls Rock, which was in Philly that first year when I was 17. I joined as a camper because I'm a musician as well. So I joined there as a camper, and like it was at the time for all like female identifying people and musicians and camp and the kids who wanted to learn music. So I just got to be in this really tight-knit community of folks who really wanted to empower women and empower girls. And my journey just kept continuing in that space. I started working at Planned Parenthood after college I just noticed the inequalities and wanted to learn and wanted to share. I'm a big storyteller. I love magazines. I interned at Paper Magazine for a few months after college and like just wanted to make art about our experiences, especially women of color. I just felt like they weren't out there. These experiences that we have with our bodies and health and feeling insecure and feeling shame, those weren't stories I got to see. And even to this day, I don't see a lot of women who look like me on TV or in magazines. So it's gotten better with social media. It's gotten a lot better. But in the mainstream, it's just not there. So I wanted to make a space. That's really it. Yeah, so I joined up with a bunch of really great friends to build what is now Womanly Magazine. Sorry for the long answer.
No, I love it. I love it so much. It's amazing. And I just think it's just so needed. It really is. And I think it's interesting how, I guess, like no matter the background, we really don't have access to valuable information about our bodies, what it's like to grow up, drugs and alcohol, sex, all of these things. We just don't know. And were there like, I mean, you touched on them a little bit, but any specific ones that you wished you understood? Or maybe you still don't even have all of the information about it now, but when you were younger that you just were like, I really could have done with some more context.
Yeah, I think a lot of things. When I was young, I had dealt with domestic violence in our home. And I wish I knew how to navigate that and understand it. Wish I knew what boundaries were. I mean, I had such a deficit that it's like, that's scratching the surface. I wish I knew consent meant at that age, how to say no, what it meant to be violated personally, emotionally, sexually, psychologically, all those things. I think I would have been better off with that, because instead of knowing and learning and understanding it and knowing it was wrong, I just shut everything out. Like I didn't have a way to filter any of it. So even the good stuff, I was just like, whew, no.
I think it's great that you've been able to kind of like take whatever it is that happened and now have put it out there so that other people aren't feeling the same way. And I think it's really cool how you've done that with Womanly. And it's sort of like this blend of art and music and education, and it's really unique. And I love that because not everybody learns in the same way. Like traditional school is so test oriented, or you have to kind of know it this way, or it's not open for different styles of individuals. And the way that you kind of mix your medias and helped educate, oh my gosh, it's so epic. So what, like,
thank you.
What led you to kind of, is it just your own artistic expression that you wanted to push things in that way?
Yeah, I love all kinds of art media and mediums. I'm a really big fan of print. I love colors, the way they look in print versus the way they look digitally. I love the vast amount of illustrations there are and ways to convey how to share anatomy. I think a lot of also a big thing was the diagrams in health centers and schools were one white, very thin, very, you know, just atypical or typical. I wanted to see more representation. I mean, like, why aren't there any fat bodies? Like, fat bodies exist, trans bodies exist, intersex bodies exist, but you never see that. Like, why is it always just one type of body?
Yeah.
So it was cool to get to discover new ways to say, like, hey, how can we depict even just like blood pressure? And how can we show people cool ways to understand the way their veins work, or I don't know, any number of things. So it was, yeah. And then film, and I'm a musician, so audio, and I just love diving into all of that to make, it's also just fun, but you know, if people get to learn in the meantime, I think it's a double whammy.
Oh, for sure. Because especially when you're going into things like biology, and if you didn't do well in school and you think that you're going to learn something that has to do with the body, I feel like immediately there's a barrier that comes up if you've had a bad experience or you didn't do well. So for it to be given to you or shown to you in a way that's not intimidating, in a way that's way more like maybe you would as a younger person or through art or just through casual conversation, people are so much more open to receiving what you're offering. And then that light bulb can go off and you can kind of be like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense.
Yeah, totally. There's so many barriers for people to learning and to feeling like seen. Things like trauma and stress and shame, these things block people from learning and from understanding their bodies. And like I said, when I was young, I just shut it all out. And I think a lot of people, when they experience a situation or a traumatic incident, and they shut everything down. So we tried to take a new approach where we can infiltrate that barrier and meet people where they are. So like sometimes just a photograph, sometimes it's just a woman that looks like you, or a story from someone who lives in your neighborhood or a neighborhood similar. It doesn't have to be so sterile. It can be, it takes time to help people understand what they need to know about their health. It's not one diagram. A lot of us don't retain information that way. So
yeah,
we're trying to take an approach of join us on this journey, learn some new things, you know,
approaching it like you're a human talking to a human, which I feel like there's so much of it that's become medicalized, commercialized, sterilized, like all of it just feels so far from what you would experience in your real life. To just kind of come down and be like, well, we're just talking, like we're just two people experiencing life, and here's how we can kind of do that together. It's something that I've become really passionate about now with birth and becoming a doula, but just seeing how something that would have been so natural for our bodies as women to experience has become so far on the other end of the scale, especially for Black women in the States. And I know you guys have done amazing articles about the Black maternal death rates and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought I'd see if you wanted to chat about that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm reading a really good book right now. It's called Under the Skin by Linda Villarosa. And it's all about maternal mortality and the reasons why Black women experience things like lower birth weights for their for their babies and why they are experiencing higher death rates. And it's a lot due to racism. Yeah. It's racism throughout your life. Like being a Black woman in this country can lead to death in childbirth, and it can lead to infant mortality. So, you know, we did an issue on Black maternal health. We did our fourth issue on it. And that was when actually that article had just come out in the New York Times about how dire the situation is in this country for Black women. So we felt like it was the right time to share some stories and to talk about what's really going on. And since then, that was a few years ago, at this point, I think there's still more to say. Mm-hmm. There's still more to do. There's still a lot of work to be done. Like it's a marathon, not a sprint, unfortunately. So we're still very invested in sharing these stories and getting people the information they need to advocate for themselves appropriately, because a lot of times we're not listened to in the hospital, or we're not given the benefit of the doubt, and our pain is not seen as valid. So it's just trying to help people know, like, maybe it won't change a racist doctor, but it will help you maybe see another doctor or know when to seek other advice, or when to know when you're being gaslighted. That can save your life. It really can.
And what about any other topics that you are currently like super invested in?
We're in a transition phase right now with our work. We just relaunched our digital website, our platform, and we did a rebrand of sorts. So we're kind of trying to figure out where we are in terms of the health issues we're covering. We are super invested in trans health this year, understanding what trans women need, what non-binary people need health-wise, and how we can appropriately share their stories on our platform and help them feel included in this work, because we did Build Womanly for all, anyone who feels womanly. You know, you don't have to be a woman to feel womanly, and I feel like I really stand by that. Like, if you are a woman, then that's wonderful. But if you aren't, but you feel womanly or you feel feminine, or it's just a way of experiencing this bond that we have within femininity and the power of it and the joy of it. And it should not be exclusive. It should not be exclusive to just people who can have a period or give birth. It's something that is more complex than that, more fluid than that. And we did create Womanly to open up that conversation a lot more,
yeah,
too. So that's been a big one. And then kidney health and colon health. I think those are big silent killers for people, trying to help people know when to get the colonoscopy, or what symptoms to look for with kidney disease and things like that. So, you know, it's a lot of work and trying to find the balance between how to get the information out there in the right way, and also how to manage our everyday lives, because we are volunteers and we all work full time. So it's been a challenge, but
wow,
we're getting it together.
Wow, that's pretty amazing though, to have this like passion on the side and be able to push through that, especially as a woman, like in new in business and all those kinds of things. Like how have you been able to find that, I don't know, that drive? Is it just innately in you to want to do this because you know that this is information that's needed? How have you been able to push through? I mean, we've had a pandemic, we've had all kinds of things going on. I mean, it just feels like it's been endless. So yeah, what keeps you going? Like where does that drive come from?
Yeah, I appreciate you recognizing that. It has been really, really rough doing this without any support from society to make these kinds of things happen. I have really leaned on my community, my friends and family throughout all of this, and they've come through. And I am tired. Mm-hmm. I do feel exhausted a lot. I do have moments where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. But then I do have other moments, more moments, where I realize I was brought here for this. I feel like I'm on earth to help women and people feel seen and understood and given opportunities in this world. So I don't quit because of that, because I feel very strongly about this work and passionate. And, you know, not just because like I really, really like to work. I don't really like to work. I just don't feel like right now I don't know any other way to get this through. Like I just feel like I have to do this right now. But I appreciate when people recognize that we don't have a lot of funding opportunities. We don't have business support. I never really learned about how to manage finances. This is all brand new and I work full time. So I'm exhausted, but again, I do it because, you know, I want to get people educated.
Well, you're doing an amazing job, truly. Like it's whenever I see, you know, I follow Womanly as well. And I go and look on the website and just read the articles and just see what's out there. And it's so carefully curated. It's been, you can tell that it's been put together with love, with passion, with, like you said, understanding. It's very, very cool. So I'm just one little person, but I see it. I see what you guys are doing. That's why I wanted to have you on to talk. I just really appreciate women who are, well, people, not just women, but women. Yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. you know, who are not afraid to stand up to society, not afraid to put their beliefs out there, you know, willing to kind of look at something and see that this isn't right and this needs to change. And even if it's small, it doesn't matter. Like that footprint is paving the way for more information, for more women, for more people to be able to put their information out there and like help share it with the world. And if it's just one life, then that's a friggin' success. So
thank you for the work you're doing too. I think as much as we can reach across the aisle and see each other in across borders, across race, across class, it's speaking up. It's saying, I hear you, I see you, and that's the work you're doing. And it really helps us too. Because sometimes we do feel like we're working in a silo or an echo chamber. But when we reach bigger audiences and we feel like there is an impact in other parts of the world, even it helps to keep going. And, you know, I'm happy to just support my community and support the people in my realm. But, you know, it does mean a lot to me to say, especially with the amount of work I'm doing, to hear that someone else outside of New York or Philly know what I'm doing. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a little island in Barbados. And know what you're doing.
That's so amazing.
You're further than you think. You're all the way out here in the Caribbean.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. And you're also a musician. And I actually went and listened to a few of your songs. I was listening to them while I was cleaning the house. And I just thought it was really cool. And I love that people who have this like form of expression, and there's lots of different ways to express. For sure. But how do you think that expression has kind of impacted who you are?
Yeah, being a musician. So I feel like I've been a musician and playing music and feeling musical my entire life since I was a little kid. And it was my first way of letting out my emotions and like expressing my feelings. And poetry and writing have always been like what I leaned on to tell somebody something about what I'm doing, what I'm feeling. And, you know, it was my void. And so it really got me to a place of being able to kind of realize and actualize some of the quirky, sometimes not traditional, sometimes weird, sometimes scary things that I was feeling inside or in my brain. And I feel lucky to have known to do that, because I guess not everybody knows what they feel good at or that they feel comfortable doing to express their anger or frustration or joy or pride or pleasure. And I feel very blessed. And so I think it was a catalyst for me to feel confident enough to make a magazine.
Yeah.
I do think it's all very linked. You know, I was making some weird music when I was 19 and it wasn't normal. And my parents, my family were like, what? This is super weird, but like, great, good for you. And I do feel very proud that I was able to do it, just do it, because that was what I wanted. That's what I felt. And I did that. And so if I could do that, I could do other things like make a magazine or fight for abortion rights or do like anything, really. Like, you can do anything you want to do in this world. I truly believe that.
Yep. I feel that too. Well, I mean, thank you for just sharing your time. I want to give you an opportunity if there's anything that you want to share or say or an issue that you want to talk about. I mean, yeah, let me know.
I've been recently feeling very impacted and I don't even know the words for it really to express the terrorism that we experienced this past weekend here in Buffalo, New York. 10 or 11 Black people were killed.
Yeah.
13 totally just terrorized and their community ravaged. And it's like, if I could express how I felt about it, it would be great, but I can't. It's extremely painful, deeply, deeply painful to watch Black people suffer, to watch Black people terrorized and mowed down and lynched, and no one's talking about it. No one is doing anything about it. There were 3 shootings, mass shootings in America last weekend, including that one. More than 200 already this year. Yeah. Mass shootings. People are dying here. So I just can't not talk about it. I feel like I'm going to explode. And I feel deeply, deeply saddened. And I feel this is one of the moments where I feel like, oh my God, yeah, I got to keep doing this work. But it also is one of those moments where I feel helpless, where I feel like extremely oppressed and extremely afraid for my life, for my kids' life, for ever being able to be a mom, for ever having a world and dealing with that on top of climate change. We are just in a really bad time. So that's where I am. And then I'm grateful for the platform that you've given me to share.
Well, thank you for feeling comfortable to share that. I appreciate that a lot. My last question is, how do you honor the woman within you?
That's a good question. I think right now I'm learning how to be myself. I'm learning how to connect with my body. As a young person, I shut down that connection because I felt so much shame and so much fear. So I'm learning how to get back in touch with connecting my emotions with my body and my brain with my body and my environment with my body. And that means exercise, and that means pleasure, and that means showers and different things. It's even just tiny things that I just never did because I just completely ignored myself. So I'm honoring myself by doing that work there and getting back in touch with who I am internally and what I need from a physical perspective in this vessel.
I think it's important to do that. And from your childhood and kind of things that you experience, like, you know, for other people out there who may be experiencing the same thing and feeling that disconnect in your body, what are the ways in which you have worked towards creating that deeper connection or peeling back some of the security or the coping mechanisms that you just have to do when you're put in certain situations in life?
It has not been easy. I go to therapy every week. I've been going for a really long time. I've just been trying to give myself some space and grace to feel like on days when I'm too depressed to shower, or days when I don't want to eat, or days when I feel like my body is not ideal, or I'm just trying to correct the thoughts that are harmful to me every time.
Yeah.
I'm still working on it. I feel like if we can maybe just help young girls and young people, just kids in general, understand that however they are and whoever they are is okay. However they appear, however they want to be or feel is okay. That there is no shame in what you look like and who you are and the things that are changing in your body. And if I would have known that, maybe it wouldn't have been so hard now, but it is hard. So the work is harder. But I'm committed to it because if I'm going to help others, I have to make sure that I'm creating space for that for myself.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, pulling back the curtain sometimes and saying, hey, you know, let's put some perspective here. You think that you've gained a lot of weight and that you don't feel comfortable in your body, but like you're here and this is the body you have. And this is beautiful. This is how I am. This is who I am. If that makes sense, that I should just be feeling beautiful no matter what, because I'm a woman, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm surviving. How dare I, you know, and how dare I let others in society make me feel like I'm worthless? That's the point I always come back to, is like, I'm only feeling worthless and feeling bad about myself because somebody told me to,
mm-hmm.
because some society says these other thin white women look better than you.
Yeah.
And that you need to look like this. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I shouldn't buy into it. So I'm unlearning how to be me and be okay with me and find me attractive and find me sexy and find me fun and feminine and whatever that means for me. So yeah, it's a journey.
It is. It's always a journey. And it's so much easier said than done. What I love about this day and age that we're in, and the amount, I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about social media and the amount of access, but this is a positive, because now we are seeing all kinds of different people, what they look like, how they identify, what they like, what values they have, how they're similar to you, how they're different to you, and how you can appreciate every little thing in between. I feel like we're just at the beginning of this like push forward, and I have a 2-year-old son, and he's a white man, and I feel a lot of things about that, and like feel this pressure that I want to really like raise him with understanding of everything else and the privilege that he has. And I am grateful that I also am able to receive this information so that I can do a better job and I can share with him all these different things about the world, especially being a friggin' man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like there's hope, because there is a lot of good stuff that's happening out there that we have access to, you being one of them, your magazine being one of them. So I just, yeah, I do Thank feel you. Hopeful. There's a lot of shit still going on, a lot of dark and heavy, heavy stuff, but I do feel hopeful.
Do you think it starts with the young people?
Yes.
Teaching our kids acceptance and love and what's right from wrong and history.
Yes.
We history. Have to teach our kids what happened. If we
yeah.
don't, we're bound to repeat it. So I definitely encourage all parents. I'm not a parent, but I feel like I would have been better for knowing and understanding
yeah.
so many different things as a kid.
I think you're right. Well, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, if there's any final thoughts or you want to let people know where to find you, I'll make sure to link all of your stuff in the show notes and tag you and make sure that you're seen. And even though we're in Little Barbados, we have listeners all over the world, which I love that I get to be able to talk to people and share this information with people from everywhere. When I like look back on the stats, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's somebody in Mumbai listening to this. There's people in the States. There's somebody in Iceland. I'm like, this is so cool that
you're cool.
able to reach the world, you know, through our voice. Yeah. So any final thoughts? The floor is yours.
If you want to follow along on our journey, if you want to learn, if you want to share, we're at Womanly Mag on social, womanlymag.com. Please reach out. We're here. We're a small team. So bear with us, but we are here. And yeah, that's it. I really appreciate you taking the time to give us a platform and share our story with your listeners. So thank you again.
It's such an honor. I'm thanking you, truly.
Oh.
So
thank you.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much, and we will chat on the next episode.